Let's read together John chapter 20, verses 19 through 23. In these verses, we have the account of our Lord's post-resurrection appearance to his disciples who were gathered together behind closed doors. John chapter 20, verse 19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." Now when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Then Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." All right, let's consider a few background notes, first of all. The occasion is the evening of Resurrection Sunday. The disciples were meeting behind closed doors because of the Jewish authorities. Now, the disciples here would probably include more than just the apostles. At the time of the ascension, we read in Acts chapter 1, verses 14 and 15, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples. Altogether, the number of names was about 120. So there is a good possibility that here in John chapter 20, more than just the apostles were gathered together in this situation behind closed doors. There's also the good possibility that they were meeting in the home of Mary, the mother of John Mark. We know she had a home in Jerusalem, and this is where the disciples were meeting in Acts chapter 12 when Peter was released from prison. We read here in verse 19 that when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." Notice it doesn't say that the Lord walked through the walls or walked through the doors. No, he appeared in their midst, the doors being shut. Now, I remember back in my Sunday school days thinking that the Lord walked through the wall, something like that. I visualized, you know, the Lord's arms coming through first and then finally his body. No, this is a capability of the resurrected body. It's not limited by gravity or walls or doors. The scripture says the Lord appeared, the doors being shut. This will be characteristic of the believer's glorified body. When we have our resurrected bodies, we will not be limited by gravity or other limitations of this space-time matter universe. The greatest fact, of course, about the resurrected body is that it will not be subject to sin. I'm looking forward to that time, aren't you? Now, one more background note. In verse 20, we read that he showed them his hands and his side. The idea here is not that the Lord is showing his scars the way we do after an operation. No, the Lord was showing them that this was really him. This was no disembodied spirit. This was the same Jesus who had died on the cross, and now he was alive again bodily. In the parallel account in Luke chapter 24, verses 36 through 43, we read there, "Now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, 'Peace to you.' But they were terrified and frightened and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, 'Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have.' When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, 'Have you any food here?' So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate in their presence." So we see our Lord's resurrected body was a physical body, a glorified body, but definitely tangible material. Well, so much for our background notes. Now let's move to our doctrinal points for this section of John chapter 20. Doctrinal point number one, because of the resurrection of Christ, believers have a peace which cannot fail. Because of the resurrection of Christ, believers have a peace which cannot fail. Notice that the first words of the Lord to his disciples were, verse 19, peace be with you. And again in verse 21, peace to you. Now this was a typical Hebrew greeting, but now it comes with new meaning, fuller meaning. Peace with God is now available to anyone who believes because Jesus died on the cross for the sins of the world. In Colossians 1:20, we read that Christ made peace through the blood of his cross. And this peace is guaranteed. It cannot fail. How do we know that? Because of the resurrection of Christ. Jesus is alive today, guaranteeing the peace with God that he made for us at the cross. And the peace of God is available to every believer today as well. What do we mean by the peace of God? The peace of God is the peace of mind and rest of soul that's available to every believer. We do not have to fear and be anxious about our circumstances. The disciples here were cringing in fear for their lives behind closed doors. They may have even been discussing what was the best way, the safest way to escape Jerusalem because of the Jewish authorities. But the Lord appeared to them and said, "Peace be with you." Instantly, their fears disappeared. Verse 20 says, "Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord." You know that same peace, the peace of God, is available to every believer today? Do you have that peace of God? It's guaranteed because Jesus offered it and he's alive. You know, right now, Margie and I are in the process of selling our house. It will be listed tomorrow. Now, we would like to sell it quickly, but suppose it doesn't sell quickly. I know there will be a tendency for us to get anxious and begin to fear that it might not sell, and why isn't it selling? What have we done wrong? Things like this. But we don't have to get anxious. Why? Because the peace of God is available, and it's guaranteed. The Lord is alive, and he's in control, even concerning details of selling a home. You know that peace of God? Because of the resurrection of Christ, believers have a peace which cannot fail. Doctrinal point number two. Because of the resurrection of Christ, believers have a mission which cannot fail. Because of the resurrection of Christ, believers have a mission which cannot fail. In verse 21, the Lord said to the disciples, "As the Father has sent me, I also send you." What is the mission? To go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's the Great Commission. That's our mission. And it's a mission that cannot fail. That's the idea in verse 23, where we read, "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." This verse has nothing to do with the idea of confessing your sins to a human priest who has the power to forgive your sins. No, only God can do that. But we have the right and the responsibility to declare that if anyone receives Christ as Savior, their sins are forgiven. Not maybe forgiven, they are forgiven. It's guaranteed. And we also have the right and the responsibility to say that if anyone refuses to receive Christ as Savior, their sins are retained. This is an awesome mission, but it's a mission that cannot fail because it's backed by the authority of Christ. He died for those sins, and he's alive to prove it. Another reason that the resurrection of Christ guarantees an unfailing mission is that as a result of the resurrection of Christ, we have the enabling power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 22, "And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" This was a foretaste of Pentecost, when all believers would be indwelt of the Holy Spirit. But I want you to notice in the context here that the Holy Spirit is given to empower the disciples for the mission of proclaiming the gospel. Notice the context. Verse 22 follows verse 21. Verse 21, as the Father has sent me, I also sent you. And now he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. How can you fail when you have God the Holy Spirit empowering you because of the resurrection of Christ? Believers have a mission that cannot fail. You know, when I was in military service, I was part of a battalion in the U.S. Army Signal Corps. Our responsibility was to introduce new equipment that had been developed into the field of operations. Well, one of our units was working in West Germany with a drone. You know what a drone is? Pilotless aircraft. In this drone, we had a lot of sophisticated equipment, photographic equipment, side-looking radar, infrared camera, etc. And our mission was to fly this thing over East Germany and collect information. The Iron Curtain and the Berlin Wall existed at that time. Well, we failed our mission miserably. We flew this drone into East Germany and lost it. We never got it back, equipment and all. I shouldn't be laughing, but it was a major failure of the mission. The Pentagon was not too pleased, I can assure you. I'm glad that I was not directly connected to that unit. Well, you know, we fail in a lot of our earthly missions, but we have a heavenly mission which cannot fail. We can be sure that if we preach the gospel that was given to us by our risen Lord, it's a mission that cannot fail. In Isaiah 55:11, that well-known verse, God says, my word will not return to me empty. Because of the resurrection of Christ, believers have a mission which cannot fail. What about practical application from these verses? Aren't you glad that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Aren't you glad that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Hebrews 13 and verse 8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And here in John chapter 20, when the Lord comes to his disciples, he says to them, peace be with you. Notice that he does not reprimand them or scold them for their cowardice at the time of the crucifixion. Yes, he will talk to Peter later. But here there is only encouragement. Aren't you glad that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever? I mean, how often the Lord could reprimand us for our fear and lack of courage and shortcomings and failings. But instead, he encourages us and strengthens us. And even when he does reprimand us and discipline us, it's always with patience and grace. Aren't you glad that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever?